Chapter 72.
Ladies and gentlemen, madames and messieurs, distinguished guests, welcome to the celebratory grand opening of our city's new Museum of Art.
The crowded room erupted in applause. Champagne glasses were raised, and the orchestra brass played a brief, rousing flourish to accompany Mayor A. Oakley Hall's remarks from the small stage that had been set up in the center of the lobby.
It is said that the greatness of a city is measured by its commitment to the arts. With tonight's dedication and gallery displays, New York City once again lays claim to the title of America's greatest city.
Chants of "Hear, hear!" reverberated through the room.
We thank the owners of New York's foremost galleries, who have lent their finest works of great art for us to enjoy. And we also thank Mr. Van Rensselaer for making his newest hotel available for this evening's gala.
At a very fair rate, I am sure,
Mandelman said to Thomas with a wink. The speeches by state and city officials had been mercifully short, and the waiters had continued circulating with trays of champagne, sherry, and canapes, which combined to keep the crowd in a festive mood.
In a few moments, the galleries in both halls will be opened, the mayor continued. Representatives of each gallery will be present to tell you about their works, and I am told that several noted artists are also here. As you step into the halls, you will be provided with a printed guide to the galleries and the works they are exhibiting tonight. On behalf of the city, the museum's board of governors, and myself, we wish you a wonderful Christmas season excursion into the world of fine art.
The mayor's final sentence was the cue for the orchestra to pick up with a popular holiday tune. Phineas and Preston Winters grabbed fresh champagne for everyone in their party, and Tiana raced off to find Teddy, who had asked her to visit the galleries with him and his family.
Are we ready, children?
Asked Mandelman, as he raised his glass to his lips. We are, Thomas said. But before we go to our gallery, I want to thank you all on behalf of Emile Aubert. How I wish he could be here for this event.
To Emile, said Phineas, as he raised his glass.
The crowd was beginning to move towards the two halls, and from where they were standing in the lobby, they could see the massive 12-foot-high carved oak doors along the halls begin to swing open.
Shall we?
Said Isabella, as she took Aconi's arm. Mandelman's gallery was at the end of the West Hall. As they stepped through the doorway, a uniformed bellboy pushed his way past several groups of people and approached.
Mr. Isaac Mandelman? He asked.
Mandelman nodded, and the boy handed him an envelope.
This is curious,
the art dealer said.
One wouldn't expect a postal delivery here.
He tore the envelope open and scanned its contents. Then he dropped the letter and his cane on the floor and fell back against the wall, his hands clutching his chest. Aconi leapt forward and steadied the old man as Thomas stooped and picked up the letter.
What is it?
Asked Phineas. As people streamed past them to begin visiting the galleries in the hall, Thomas quickly read the letter. It is from the directors of the museum, he said, signed by each of them. It seems we have been deemed unfit to be a part of this exhibition. Our gallery will remain locked, and Isaac's rental fee will be returned to him.
That's all it says?
Winters demanded. Everything, Thomas replied. He handed the letter to Winters and turned to Aconi, who had helped Mandelman to a chair by the door and was leaning over him.
How is he?
The old man looked up at Thomas and smiled grimly.
Did you know that I was born in 1792?
He said in a weary voice.
I have seen wars and plagues and financial collapse and even pogroms against the people in my homeland. I have seen it, and I have survived all of it. To have made it to 80 and have this final insult hurled at me, it is unbearable.
Thomas was about to speak when Arconi stood up and said,
"Locked door? Do they really think that a locked door is going to stop us now? After everything we have been through to get here?"
Then he strode down the corridor, pushed his way through knots of people who were both astonished and frightened by this wild-eyed giant in formal evening wear thundering past open doors like a titan from Mount Olympus going into battle. Mandelman's eyes widened, and he stood up with Isabella's help.
"I think we had better..."
Phineas began. "Yes, we had, before Arconi tears the door off its hinges," Thomas answered. He and Phineas and Winters hurried down the long marble hallway after their friend. They passed six open galleries. Each room was already filled with well-dressed art lovers, who were being greeted by gallery owners and sales associates with fresh champagne and price lists. When he arrived at Gallery 7, Arconi was standing directly in front of the towering oak door. He watched as the Hawaiian took three steps back, turned his body sideways, and then rammed the door as hard as he could. The door did not budge, of course, but that did not deter Arconi, as his friends circled around to try and shield him from the view of anyone in the hall. Arconi smashed into the door again and again. Finally, he stepped back, grasped the aching shoulder he had been using as a battering ram, and silently admitted defeat.
Mandelman arrived on Isabella's arm. "I am sorry, my friend," Arconi said to him.
The art dealer laid a hand on Akoni's arm and said,
"It was a heroic effort, good friend. No man could have done more."
No one could think of anything to say. All of their efforts, months of travel and danger, one risk after another until, on the cusp of a great victory whose achievement had cost each of them something he or she held dear, a locked door brought their dream to a crashing halt. Then, in the quiet, a new voice spoke.
"To be honest, I don't know if that is true."
Thomas and his friends turned to see that Teddy Roosevelt and Tiana had arrived.
"What do you mean?" Thomas asked. "I mean, there are other ways to open a door. Proper ways,"
the boy replied.
"Like with a key?"
Phineas asked in an acid tone.
"Yes, of course,"
said Teddy.
"That would be the ideal way, but..."
He reached into his trouser pocket and withdrew a penknife. Then he looked closely at Isabella and said,
"I mean no disrespect, but could I borrow one of those long pins in the side of your hair?"
Thomas was perplexed. "Teddy, what?" Isabella pulled out a 4-inch hairpin and handed it to Teddy, who dropped to his knees in front of the brass lock and immediately inserted the blade of his penknife into the bottom of the keyhole. Then he stuck the hairpin in above the blade and began working it back and forth. The men gathered behind the boy to hide him while he committed his first burglary.
"You see," Teddy said, "locksmithing is something of a hobby of mine."
"Is there anything that isn't?" Thomas wondered.
"And these particular locks are relatively simple mechanisms. In fact..."
There was a clicking sound, and Teddy popped up.
"It's done,"
he said with a wide grin. Thomas nearly laughed at the look of astonishment on Akoni's face.
"Mr. Mandelman, would you like to do the honors?"
asked Isabella. Isaac stepped forward and turned the huge brass handle. Just like that, the door swung open on its perfectly balanced hinges.
"Do you suppose they will call the police?"
he asked.
"Let them try,"
answered Arconi as the group went into the gallery. The chandelier and sconces lit the room perfectly. Aubert's paintings seemed almost alive against the pale gray walls, their colors shimmering in the soft light. Arconi wrapped his arm around Isabella's shoulder, and Tiana kissed Teddy on the cheek, which set him to blushing and the group to laughing. Mandelman went to the center of the room and leaned on his cane.
"This is perfect," he said.
"Unfortunately, no one knows that we are here.
said Winters. What now?
Now, I show you Haoles, how Hawaiians call to one another across a valley, said Akoni.
He stepped out into the hallway and put his thumb and forefinger into his mouth. Then he began to whistle, loud and shrill, shattering the decorum of the event and forcing people to turn around to see what the devil was going on. As soon as they looked in his direction, Akoni began waving for them to come his way. Tayana and Teddy didn't just wave. They scooted down the long corridor and began to implore guests to come and visit what they promised would be the most interesting gallery they would see that evening. A few moments later, people began to trickle in. Thomas stood behind the first couple to enter, and when the fur and jewel-draped wife took in Aubert's paintings, turned to her husband and said, "I have never seen such remarkable." In a hushed, almost reverential tone, he knew it was going to be all right. Isaac Mendelman heard her too. He turned to Thomas and bowed slightly at the waist, before going over to introduce himself to the first prospective buyers of the evening.